This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP President, Money Manager, Steve Peasley.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday edition of Invest Talk. We're here to exchange ideas and maybe allow me to share some of our experiences here as a professional portfolio manager. And, of course, we're here every weekday to answer your money questions. Since we're live weekdays, 4 to 5 Pacific time, we can also have a conversation. Our direct line is 888-99-CHART. And, of course, I'll be taking our first call here in a couple minutes. It might as well be you if you want to call in. As we have been doing this week, we're thumbing through our hand-picked investing and financial book lists for those of you who may be looking for ideas for Christmas. Maybe a gift for yourself, even. In today's book, it's going to be about technical books. I'm going to suggest a technical analysis. That's reading charts. Technical analysis of the financial markets, a comprehensive guide to trading methods and applications. That's one. John Murphy has now updated his landmark bestseller, Technical Analysis of the Future Markets. Includes all financial markets. And Knight Rider says if you could read only one book on technical analysis, that should be it. That's John Murphy's book. And then we have the Japanese candle charting techniques, candlestick charting. It's the second edition. Candlesticks is a form of technical analysis. The Japanese candlesticks are called. I use them. That's what I look at every day. That's the ones I use. All these are very good books. Technical Analysis of Stock Trends, hardcover by Robert Edwards. That's the one that I first read many years ago. I think it's very good. It's like $100 a hardcover is, but it's like a book that you would be in class. But it's really good, very in depth. Technical Analysis of Stock Trends. Okay, I think those are some of the books that you might want to take a look at. I think they'll be very, very good. You can go to investtalk.com, look at our book list. Of course, you can always get my book, Above Average Investing for the Average Investor. It does have a section on technical analysis. It's heavy on fundamental analysis because that's what you should do first. Technical analysis is what you do second. You want to buy good, solid companies all the time. All the time. Yeah. Can you do a fly-by-night, really risky penny stock? Of course you can, just as long as you're willing to lose all that money and be consistently losing all that money. And every once in a great while, you might get a winner. But, of course, you could lose fortune before you hit the winner. That's why I don't like doing it. So that's what we should be doing today. Let's pick up the phone and get a question and answer portion of the program going. 888-99-CHART. You can reach us 24 hours a day.
Hi, this is Rory in Duluth, Minnesota. I listen on iTunes, and I love your show. I have a question having to do with projections, because your way of evaluating stocks depends on projection earnings. I'm wondering where those come from, how reliable they are, and that's my question. Thank you.
That's a very good question. Let me put it this way. If you read my book, you would see that section on there where I talk about experts. And it's one of the things I say in there, the first thing I say in there is experts are always wrong. Experts are always wrong. And experts are the ones who have given us those earnings projections. They're the ones who are analyzing the company, trying to figure out how much money they're going to earn next year. And I just told you, they're always wrong. And I always base the value of companies on future earnings, those estimates. So isn't that all contradictory? Yes, it is. But you don't have any other choice. It's your best guesstimate. Your best, the experts are trying to do their best. I just want you to always understand they're never going to hit it right on the head. They never do. Sometimes they undershoot. Sometimes they overshoot. Sometimes things happen in the year that make the earnings all wrong. Recessions, wars, things happen. But you still have to have a basis of valuating the company. And since you're competing with all the other investors the professional investors especially, and they are using future earnings. They value the stocks today at what they think the future earnings are going to be tomorrow. So if you have to do the same thing to at least understand what's going on in the market. So you have to use it. It's experts. It's IBIS. It's S&P. These people are trying to estimate what the earnings are going to be. They do that by talking to the companies, talking to the competitors, looking at their books. You know, they do it various ways. They really try to do a very good job about earnings. They're very, very, you know, very tight on what they're trying to analyze. But again, no one knows. No one really knows. Okay? But it's a very good question. Got to use them. Got to use projected earnings by the experts. Pay off your mortgage to invest, pay off your mortgage, or should you invest the money instead of paying off your mortgage? That's one of our talking points today. What do you think I'm going to say? You know, I had a conversation with a client, long-term client, very, very good client today, about this very thing. And I think we're going to explore it a little on today's show. That's going to be our main talking point, matter of fact. I also want to talk about the 10 stocks with long-term sustainable dividends that have room to raise those dividends. 10 stocks. I'm going to give you a list of 10 stocks. These are not recommendations. This was an article I was reading, and they pointed out these 10 stocks, and I'm going to share it with you. I'm not recommending these stocks. I will tell you which ones we own of the 10, but there is not a recommendation. You know why I'm saying that? I got SEC rules that I got a real, you know, I don't like giving lists of stocks out, like, because I can very easily violate rules that I don't want to violate. So these are 10 stocks that you can put on your watch list and do your homework on and research them. The Swiss announced negative interest rates starting next year, which is, you know, 2 or 3 weeks from now. Negative interest rates. How's that possible? You know, they're not the only ones that have negative interest rates. Do you know what that means? Okay, and is a reverse mortgage a good retirement strategy? A reverse mortgage. I've talked about it before. Well, first I'll give you the definition of one. But is it a good retirement strategy? And I'm going to tell you right off the bat that it's not. But there's some people that would disagree with me. So I want to give you kind of the pros and cons on that. And we tried to get this to yesterday, but I'm going to definitely get it today. The 5 questions that predict how rich you will be. 5 questions. Yes and no questions. Really simple questions. They kind of give you a hint of how rich you're going to be in the future. What it really does is I look at those questions, and they're simple questions. It really looks at what kind of person you are. It tells you what kind of person you are when it comes to your financial life. Just your financial life. And if you want to be rich, you're going to have to change how you look at your financial life. Won't that be fun? I kind of think so.
You're listening to an InvestTalk replay, but you can still ask your question. Just call our anytime line at 888-99-CHART, and we'll answer it on the next InvestTalk. And from Steve, Justin, the broadcast crew, and the office staff at KPP Financial, a happy and healthy new year.
888-99-CHART is our number, everybody. You can reach us. We have lines open, 888-992-4278. Okay, let's go to Bruce in Newark. How you doing, Bruce?
I was just wondering, you were talking about high-yield bond funds, closed-end. What do you think about high-yield open-ended bond funds at this point?
I prefer the closed-end funds. And you want me to tell you why?
Yes.
Because closed-end funds, because I know no one out there, or very few people know what the difference between an open-end fund and a closed-end fund. A closed-end fund has a finite number of shares, okay? Where an open-end mutual fund, they just keep issuing shares as people put money in. Okay, everybody knows a mutual fund operates on net asset value, right? So whatever the assets they purchase, what is the actual value of them today? Add those all in, divided by the number of shares, and this is your net asset. This is what it is. A closed-end fund has a finite amount of shares. Therefore, they don't keep issuing shares. Therefore, a closed-end fund can sell at a discount or at a premium to the net asset value of the holdings. Many times, they will sell at a discount. Well, the closed-end funds, especially the high yield, a lot of them are selling at a discount right now. In other words, if that fund liquidated, it would give us all more and more money. In other words, they're selling all the positions in there at a discount. Therefore, we're getting a higher yield, and I'm getting a bargain. I'm getting it on sale. Whereas an open-end fund, you wouldn't get any bargain. You get it right what the value is today. That's it. That's the only reason why I like them today better than I would any other day.
Yeah, I'm trying to decide what to do with my fixed income allocation in my 401k plan, and it has a high-yield bond fund and a stable value.
Well, a stable value wouldn't give you too much income because that's not what they're designed to do. They're designed to stay stable and give you some income. The high yield is pretty much an income play. But, of course, you have a little bit high risk with that than the stable value. So you're going to have to trade stable versus risk. Bruce, that's a tough call. Maybe put half in each. How's that?
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Bruce. I appreciate the call. Over the last month or so, we've had quite an abundance of calls and emails asking about various big oil stocks. I think oil, I'll say it right now, I think oil has pretty much finished its fall. Remember, I've been saying we got to wait till it's finished? I can't say for sure, but here we have had like 3 days of sideways movement. So I thought we'd touch on maybe a good time to be buying oil positions. I have an info sheet went out to InvestTalk Insiders this week. You can get one right now. When you join our InvestTalk Insiders, do that at investtalk.com. I'm portfolio manager Steve Peasley, and this is InvestTalk at 888-99-CHART. Mahavert is next, and then you.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
Okay, remember, we love beginner questions, so we welcome your question at 888-99-CHART. Now, what is the question?
I love your show, new listener and new investor.
Great.
I had a question. I wanted to know, when do you know when to sell your mutual fund?
Aha. Okay. You got a little pen that you can write some of this down?
Yes, I do.
Or you can listen to the show later on our archives.
That's what I was thinking.
Okay. One rule we like is when they change managers. That's one reason to sell.
Okay.
Another reason to sell is when they stop doing the things they were doing. In other words, let's say they're a small cap value fund and the fund is not buying small cap stocks or starting to buy mid cap stocks. Why are they doing that? Watch the amount of money under management. When that changes dramatically, consider getting out.
Is that also with global funds also?
Yes, it is. What happens, Joe, is when these mutual funds, they're successful and they have, let's say, a $500 million under management, and they're doing really, really well, they attract a lot of money in a short period of time. It really affects their performance going forward. They can't do what they do. That's why it's the best ones will close and not take more money.
I see. All right. Thank you very
much. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate the call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to an InvestTalk replay, but you can still ask your question. Just call our anytime line at 888-99-CHART, and we'll answer it on the next InvestTalk. And from Steve, Justin, the broadcast crew, and the office staff at KPP Financial, a happy and healthy new year.
We want to hear from your questions. 888-99-CHART is how you reach us. You can do it right now. Your money topic is always on the top of our list. You listen to Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley.
Why are earnings so important? What does that mean, earnings per share? Or what's your question? Why not ask it now at 888-99-CHART on Invest Talk? Our Invest Talk podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial, and we thank you for subscribing. Just because you live out of range of our California offices does not mean that you can't take advantage of Steve's offer to review your retirement portfolio. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Schedule a Meeting. It can happen by Skype or telephone. If you have a question about the process, click on Contact Steve and ask. You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
Let's go to Marcia in San Diego. How are you doing, Marcia?
Yeah, I'm trying to help my son in his investing. And
okay.
So currently he has a 401 with the company that he works for. He's been there for approximately 2 years.
Okay.
Putting in around $400 a month.
Good for him.
So he doesn't really have very much in there. But
can I ask how old he is?
A Roth is really a better investment.
How old is he?
28.
28. And is a Roth a better investment?
Yes.
I'm going to say yes, especially if you're 28. You know, he should fund a Roth IRA first before he goes into his 401k. Does the company match money for him?
No.
There's what's called Roth 401ks.
Oh, really?
Well, they have to choose to do this, first of all. So he should ask his company, are you guys going to do a Roth 401k? Because then he could put more money away into a Roth 401k than a Roth IRA.
I need to find out, and hopefully by calling you, what would be a good place for him to open up his Roth.
He wants to open up a Roth IRA. He can put up to $4,000 in it. And that's about what he's doing $4,800 a year.
Yes.
So he puts $4,000 in the Roth IRA and put the $800 into his regular 401k.
Okay.
Okay, now how does he do that? He can easily go to almost any brokerage house. And I would go to a discount one. You could do it at eBay. But I would probably suggest maybe the Schwab One program. As a matter of fact, I don't even use Schwab, but I don't have any ties there.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a no-load, no-transaction fee mutual fund program called the Schwab One program, and they love the IRA. So he could open up a Roth IRA at Schwab and say, I want the Schwab One program, and I'm going to fund it with $400 a month. And then once he has enough to buy in there, he can buy some mutual funds. And why I like it, because there's about 2,000 different mutual funds he could buy from. And they're all no load and no transaction fees.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
Yeah.
Now, who makes the decision as to what is going to be going into the Roth? I mean, what is going to be purchased in regard to the mutual funds?
He does.
Okay.
Now, he can hire someone like me. Okay. And that's fine, but then you got to pay me. On a smaller account, I don't think it's worth it. If he does this, Marcia, if you have him call me at my office, I will give him some mutual funds that we like that he can get the prospectus from, mutual funds that are sold at Schwab that you can buy, and I'll give him some choices.
Okay. Oh, that sounds wonderful.
No cost, just because I like helping people, and especially a 28-year-old just getting started.
I know. That's so important, and I think he's really starting to see.
I mean, these 28-year-olds, and you know, they don't think they're ever going to get old, but they do.
Yes, I know.
Just like we did.
Exactly. Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you, Marcia. I appreciate the call.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to an InvestTalk replay, but you can still ask your question. Just call our anytime line at 888-99-CHART, and we'll answer it on the next InvestTalk. And from Steve, Justin, the broadcast crew, and the office staff at KPP Financial, a happy and healthy new year.
Let's go to Paul in San Jose. How you doing, Paul?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you, Steve, for taking my call.
Thank you.
So, you know, I have three or four accounts, and some of them cash accounts, some of them, you know, retirement accounts, IRA accounts.
Right.
And so I gave one of the accounts to a famous brokerage to, you know, handle it.
Right.
And other accounts, I managed it. And I found I got a consistent return of 35% on my account. And those guys hardly made $2,000 this year. So I was wondering whether it's worth going with these guys, or I should do it myself, or maybe for a company, maybe a better bet. I just can't believe that somebody.
Let me ask you a few questions. See, that's not unusual. I've heard this story many times, and it's happened to me too. Usually, when you have a professional manager, they don't take huge risks. They take managed risks, and therefore, you know, did you maybe you bought five stocks and they have 30, and therefore you may get, you know, you may hit on your stocks and you'll way outperform. You know, you hit home runs where they're hitting singles and doubles, you know, they're not doing nearly as good on a per-stock basis. And so the question for you is, how much risk did they take, and how much risk did you take? And if you're comfortable with the risk you take, then it might be wise for you to manage your own account. Maybe you're better than them. It's as simple as that. But my experience tells me that most likely they are managing the risk, and therefore they probably have a lot of stocks, and therefore they'll never crash, but they'll never also be spectacular. And that's not unusual. That's normal, by the way.
Well, the problem is that they may be risk averse, but they're ridiculous. You cannot make $2,000 the entire year, even though you're risk averse. I mean, even treasuries are better than that. So
well,
I'm kind of perplexed by this.
Well, that, of course,
and
that depends.
I don't have time to. Pardon?
Of course, that depends on how big your portfolio. They made $2,000 on $100,000. Yeah, that's not very good. If they made
they had some $80,000 and they made $2,000 and $4,000, $6,000 last year.
Uh-huh.
And during the same time, I took about $150,000 and made $60,000 this year. So, you know, I didn't take a lot of risk, by the way. Uh-huh. I just did, you know, buy and sell in a typical manner that is risk averse in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm kind of wondering whether I should withdraw from them and get out of there, because it looks like they have this bunch of mutual funds and they do nothing but cancel each other all the time.
Well, maybe that's not the right manager for you then. It sounds like it's not the right manager for you, Paul. There's other managers for you, you know.
Your company does better than that, right?
Generally speaking, but again, I will tell you, we didn't do 35% either. Trust me on this. Because, you know, we do the same thing. We're not risk averse, but I will take more risk than that. But, you know, I've seen a lot of people do very, very well, but most time they'll have 80%. I really got to go. This is the best time.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
888-99-CHART. Just wanted to finish the conversation with Paul in San Jose about he was doing so much better than his money manager, and that's not unusual, and it really goes to, most of the time that I've seen, it goes to how much risk you take versus your money manager. Usually a money manager is more risk averse and more diverse, than an individual. And Paul was saying that he didn't take that much risk. Well, then maybe that money manager is not for you. I mean, that's possible. Yeah. You never know. You always want to find a money manager that you're comfortable with. That's really what you're looking for. You're comfortable with what they're doing and how they do it. Because you hopefully will be a long-term relationship. That's what you're really looking for. But good question. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Time to give me a call. What do you want to talk about? Should you pay off your mortgage, or should you invest the money and not pay off your mortgage? And you'll hear me, and you've heard me on this show for years and years saying, pay off your mortgage before you retire. And I'm going to continue to tell you that. You need to pay off your mortgage before you retire. And I say that even with the interest rates so low right now, mortgage interest rates, that I think you should still do that, because the average person is, and I hate to say this, but the average person has a difficult time. Instead of paying off the mortgage, he won't put that money aside and invest it. The average person will spend it. So I always say you need to pay off that mortgage before you retire, because, you know, that's one asset, house, the property, that is very steady and very durable. Okay, so you want to pay off that mortgage because you're saving money in that asset. Problem is, it's not a very liquid asset at all. It's not liquid. And therefore, in retirement, you may have this big house with a lot of equity in it, but you have no cash. So there's issues. Now, when I talk to individual people, you know, my answer may be different depending on the person's circumstances. When mortgage rates are 3.5%, 4%, or below 4%, there's a lot of good, solid argument not to pay off your mortgage. But the average person needs to have his mortgage paid off before he retires. most of people, most of us out there, but not everybody. Maybe you have other assets. Maybe you have many properties, several properties. Maybe, you know, there's reasons not to. But the average person should pay off his mortgage. I want to stress that. You should pay extra every month. Get that mortgage out of there before you retire. Okay? That's what I think. Don't forget, our listener line is open for your questions whenever you're ready to ask one. 888-99-CHART. You can call about a stock, an investing strategy, maybe your life situation. Go ahead. 888-992-4278. Let's go to Ken in Temecula. How you doing, Ken?
Hey, Steve. I'm very interested in technical analysis. I'm relatively a new investor in individual stocks.
Uh-huh.
And I use the MACD and the stochastic indicators.
Those are good indicators.
Evaluating charts. But sometimes the MACD, when it's below the zero line and it looks like it's in a buy trend, mm-hmm. And then I look at the stochastic indicator, it might be above 80 mm-hmm. and looking like a sell signal. And I wanted to know if there's a correlation between the two, or how would you use
in that situation, indicators? You yeah. wouldn't react to the stock at all, because you have total divergence of two indicators, which indicates confusion to you okay. as a trader. That would say, wait a minute, and you're reading them right. You're saying, wait a minute, one's a buy, one's a sell. What am I supposed to do? In those cases, do nothing.
Okay.
You want to look at other indicators to confirm.
Okay.
But what I like to do, use the MACD and accumulation and distribution line and the on-balance volume line, looking at all three. If they're all three lined up, that gives me more comfort.
Those four indicators combined together looking good rather than mm-hmm. One looking good and the other maybe not looking good.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. And you got to make sure the stock price itself also kind of tracks, okay, well, that's a good buy point, too, on the stock price itself. Ken, the more you look at these charts, the better you'll get at it.
Very interesting.
Okay, yeah, it is interesting.
A little complicated, a little confusing, but interesting.
It's like learning a whole language, Ken, a whole different language of some kind. That's what it's doing. Good luck with it, Ken. Hope it works for you.
Thanks. You.
Vic in Bay Area. How you doing, Vic?
I'm good, Steve. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for calling.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. Just had a quick question. I'm actually scheduled to meet up with you here in the very near future. I know we're going to have limited time, and I thought this might be useful to other people. So
okay. On
the 401Ks, pretty much that's all I've dealt with so far in my investment career.
Okay.
I would like to start taking off and doing some of the stock individually. Does one get dinged for that as far as if you cash in some of the 401K investment money and invest in stocks, or is that kind of like trading in for a mutual fund?
Good question, Vic. It depends on your particular 401k, for instance. Many, many 401ks give you limited options of what you can buy, right?
Pretty much, yes.
Okay, and that's mostly what is out there. But some 401ks, the one I have for my employees, allows you to opt out of those options and trade individual stocks in a 401k. You have to ask your employer if that's available to you.
Okay.
And the employer has to pay for that option in behalf of its employees, but it's only $100, $200 a month. It's not a ton of money. Now, if you took the money out of the 401k and bought stocks outside, you're going to get paid tax and penalty, and you don't really want to do that.
All right.
And when we meet, Vic, bring me your selection so I can take a look at what you get to choose from.
Yeah, we'll do. I'll definitely bring that. And then also, there was something that I wanted to ask you about, a plan that's supposed to solidify your mortgage in 9 years, and I don't know how the heck they can do that, but I'll bring that along as
great.
Well.
We'll talk about that, too. I've done those kinds of things myself and gotten burned and gotten great benefit from it. Depends on the plan.
Okay, good deal. I'll bring that along as well. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Thanks, Vic. Appreciate the call. Look forward to seeing you.
You're listening to an InvestTalk replay, but you can still ask your question. Just call our anytime line at 888-99-CHART, and we'll answer it on the next InvestTalk. And from Steve, Justin, the broadcast crew, and the office staff at KPP Financial, a happy and healthy new year.
We have two new dates for portfolio reviews in Southern California. I'll be in San Diego January 13th. And at our home office in Dana Point on January 15th. Now, of course, I'm always in the home office. I'm just not talking to clients every day. And this is a good way to start the new year, everybody. You know you need to start looking at it. Well, we talked to, was it Paul earlier, you know, not happy with his money manager? Well, maybe you're not either. So I'm going to take a look. You take a look at your schedule. Take a look at your accounts. See what you want to do. To save your hour with me, if you want, go to investtalk.com and click on schedule a meeting. And if you're out of range of these two locations, I also schedule meetings via the telephone, via Skype, via, there's many ways you can talk. Talk to two people in Minnesota this week.
Why not sign up to be an InvestTalk insider? Steve has a new info sheet on investing in oil stocks. It's new this week for all InvestTalk insiders, and you can sign up for free on investtalk.com.
888-99-CHART, we're going to talk to John and Tracy. How are you doing, John?
I'm good, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for the call.
Long-time listener.
Thank you.
I have a question about oil.
Okay.
I see that there's some jump there last couple of days after this big drop.
Yep.
But what's your take on the macroeconomics and where this is heading in 3 to 6 month range?
I think oil is about done with its fall. But, John, I don't see a lot of strength in 3 to 6 months in oil. In other words, there's still going to be a lot of pressure that to not push it up. Until Europe starts gaining strength or China stops ratcheting down their growth prospects, I don't see a lot of strength in oil. OPEC is saying they're going to continue pumping as much as they can or want to. No cut in production. So until we see some either reducing of supply or increasing demand, oil's not going to go anywhere. I mean, there's probably more pressure on the downside than the upside, but I have a feeling this could be close to its level that it's going to stop falling. It's still a little too early to tell, John, really. I've suggested maybe the next couple of weeks to tell us a good story. If it goes, I mean, the last 2-3 days, looks like it, I mean, there's been lots of volume, down volume before that on oil stocks, lots of volume. And now there's volume, pretty decent volume on sideways movement for 2 or 3 days. So it looks like the buyers and sellers are equalizing here. And so I think you might, it's tough. I did add an oil position this week. Let's put it that way, John. Yeah, so.
Sure. But okay. Then what do you see 1+ years down the road? Is it a good entry point? I know it may go further down a bit from here, but keeping 1+ year roadmap in mind.
This is a buying opportunity. John, it's a really good buying opportunity for a lot of oil companies right now. They might still go down, but especially if you're talking about big oil, you know, I like big oil, you know, big companies. Yeah, this is a buying opportunity. Long term, this is a great opportunity, and I don't want anybody to miss it. If you need core positions of oil in your portfolio, don't load up. Don't have everything be oil. But if you need some position, this is the time that you're going to want to buy within the next
few.
Okay?
Excellent. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, John. Appreciate the call. Okay, 888-99-CHART is our number. We're going to go to Art in Milipitas.
Hey, I was listening to you about the best time to invest for the time of the year.
Yes.
I got a retirement, but I got about $20,000 in a reserve, just money market.
Okay.
To invest that now, I'm pretty flexible about taking the risk in a straight dividend fund.
Okay.
Would it be conservative or into a moderate allocation fund?
I would do it in a moderate allocation. You're retired?
Right.
You don't want to take a lot of risk on this stock, this money.
I got two moderate allocation funds that are five-star funds, but I tended to sway toward the dividends because they pay you monthly income.
Oh, yeah. I love those dividends, Art.
That's what I really enjoyed about listening to your expertise in reference to dividends.
People, dividends make up a large part of the return on a portfolio. Don't ignore them. Don't ignore the dividends. But, Art, what do you want to do with this $20,000?
Well, the question being, Steve, moderate allocation doesn't give me a monthly dividend check.
No.
I kind of like the idea on a tax basis in a taxable account, this reserve $20,000 I have. Mm-hmm. If I take it in a dividend fund and it pays out monthly, I'm at a reduced tax rate on the income that I have coming out.
You know, Art, all I can suggest is just get it invested.
Exactly. If I had an emergency, if I needed anything, I got about $75,000 in taxable accounts.
Oh, see.
If I needed an emergency, I could get out at any time.
Yeah,
I'm not restricted on staying in.
I definitely put that money to work.
I enjoy your expertise, Steve. You do a
great
job.
Art, I appreciate your calls. You guys make the show. I just enjoy it. That's all.
I think you do outstanding.
Thanks, Art. Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Robert, San Diego. How you doing, Robert?
Thank you. One quick question. Growth rate, earnings rate, future earnings rate, or earnings times growth rate. Is it sales growth rate?
No, you want to use earnings growth rate first. Then look at the sales growth rate. Because you can't have your earnings growth rate keep going up when sales is not. So you can't ignore sales, but I would like you to use the earnings growth rate to come up with the calculation.
Okay.
But if you see the earnings going up 20% and the sales going flat, then that 20% is probably not sustainable and you don't want to use it.
And how would that vary if you were to use, say, forward earnings or projected earnings versus a forward PE to figure the value of stock?
Okay, I generally do it both ways. Forward PE and forward sales and growth. Okay, growth of earnings, growth of sales. And then I also use the five-year PE range, low and high. What it does, Robert, is try to give you a box. Okay, this is about where you think it should go. This is a quick and dirty way to evaluate something, you know, to get a future value price of a stock.
Excellent. You're a fount of information. Thank you.
Thanks, Robert. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. How to value a stock. Also, Robert, I'll just tell you real quick. My formula, it's earnings growth times next year's growth rate times next year's earnings per share, only works really good on the mid-size type of companies. Mid-size. Not really good on the really small ones and not really good on the really big ones. Why? Because the really small ones grow very, very fast, or should be, and the really big ones grow pretty slow. So using that formula messes you up. It doesn't work as well.
Here are the directions for reaching Steve this afternoon with your question. Just call 888-99-CHART, C-H-A-R-T. Have a question about how best to get into the market? Or maybe you're feeling unsure about your current investments. That's what this is all about. This is Invest Talk.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Did you know the Swiss announced negative interest rates? Trying to weaken their Swiss franc. They're not in the euro. Who else did that? Well, many countries in the EU did that. They're trying to force banks to do something with the money instead of parking it with the central bank. So the banks have money, they don't want to spend it, they want to loan it out, but the central banks want them to loan it out because they want them to get the economy going, but banks, you know, don't want to lend it out. You see how that tug of war? And of course, banks don't want to lend it out if there's not demand for the loans. They're not demand for loans because the economy is sick. It's kind of a cycle. So how do you kickstart that cycle? And one of the ways central banks try to do it is penalize them for, instead of paying them an interest rate for storing money with the central bank, they charge them interest for storing money at their central bank. That's what a negative rate is. Negative 0.25 is what the Swiss did. And Europe has had that for a while. Hasn't worked for them. See, it won't work all by itself. You know, it won't. You got to have politicians to get on the same side. You got to have a freer market. You got to do other things. Just the central bank is not all powerful. You've heard us talking about our new 401k solution. If you'd like to talk about it or you want some information, go to investtalk.com and send a note to Justin. Just click on Contact Justin at our website, investtalk.com, and write in the 401k. Just write it in, and he'll send you some information. You can bring it to your boss so they can take a look at it to give you employees a better plan.
What makes our podcast somewhat unique is that you can talk to our host directly. Ask your question, make a comment. Just call our 24-hour listener line, and if you call between 4 and 5 p.m. Pacific time, you can help shape the discussion, have a conversation. That's 888-99-CHART. Please be in touch.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
Okay, for all you dividend lovers out there, and by the way, I'm a dividend lover. I like dividends, too. 10 stocks with large sustainable dividends and room to grow them, to raise those dividends. Now, this is an article. I'm not recommending these stocks. Please, I want to make it clear. This is not a recommendation to buy or sell anything. But there was an article and it listed these 10 stocks. Lyondell's number one. It's a chemical company. Every one of these companies have lots of cash flow, profits, and growing their money, growing those profits and growing those sales. So Lyondell, which is a chemical company, Frontier Communications, Entergy Utilities Company, CenturyLink, Telephone, Coach, 3.84, Verizon, 4.83, Denbury Resources, it's oil, Windstream Holdings, Telephone, GE, but the problem with GE is they have a large oil exposure now. They've become an oil company. And then there's People United, which is a bank. We own Verizon in some of our managed accounts. We own Lyondell in some of our managed accounts, so just know that that's the case. But you need to do research on these companies. Make sure the article saying these companies had sustainable dividends and they can raise their dividends. They have enough profit. Remember our rule? We'd like to see a payout ratio of 60% or less. And what does that mean? 60% or less of their earnings paid out in a dividend. Remember, the reason why you want 60% or less is you want them to retain money so they can grow their company. Can't pay out everything in a dividend. Then they have nothing else to reinvest in their company, upgrade their system, buy a new factory, do something, you know. 888-99-CHARTER is our number, 888-992-4278. How do we go to Dave in Burlingame? How you doing, Dave?
Thank you for taking my call, and I love your show.
Thank you. Thanks for calling.
My question is, I understand how it's important to pay off your mortgage, especially when you're around age 50. My question to you is, would it be a good move to take the money that you have saved in your 401k to pay off your mortgage? I'm currently 47. Okay. Would that be a good move or not?
No, it would not be, Dave. Why do I say that? The 401k is for your retirement. And the house is also for your retirement. So saying that, you would think, well, it makes sense, does it not? No, I like you to have two different types of assets there, not just all your money in one asset. Okay, I still think it's a great idea to pay off mortgage, pay down mortgage, get those things paid off. But I don't think you should do it with retirement money. That money is tax deductible as you put the money in there. And the only other tax deductible you have is the mortgage payment, the interest. Not that that's why you should have a mortgage. I don't think you should have a mortgage. I think you should try to pay it down. I would much rather see you take a little extra money every month, and I know it's tough when you're working stiff and you're not making a lot of money and a lot of free money, but I'd much rather see you pay $50, $100 a month and use that extra money to pay down that mortgage and continue to fund your 401k.
I appreciate your answer, and basically leave the 401k alone,
mm-hmm.
Add whatever additional money that you can.
Whatever you can.
To pay it off.
You'll be surprised, Dave, how fast it will take down that mortgage if you're disciplined and do it every month.
I appreciate your advice. Thank you for taking my call.
You're listening to an InvestTalk replay, but you can still ask your question. Just call our anytime line at 888-99-CHART, and we'll answer it on the next InvestTalk. And from Steve, Justin, the broadcast crew, and the office staff at KPP Financial, a happy and healthy new year.
Let's go to Kathy in Oceanside. How are you doing, Kathy?
Hi. My question is, my husband and I are going through a bankruptcy, and we were able to keep our house. But we're just starting to look at now, how are we going to rebuild? And what would be the best strategies for us starting all over again?
Okay. Well, one way, you need to get a couple of credit cards. Now, that doesn't sound like you can do it, huh? You can. This is how you do it. You have to go to the credit card company and deposit money with them.
It's like a prepaid credit card.
Yeah.
Okay.
And use it. Use that money and do it month to month. I had a sister-in-law who filed bankruptcy, did this. It took her several years. This is how she rebuilt her credit. Now she's, I think it was 7 or 8 years ago. Now her credit's pretty decent because that's what she did. So that's what you want to do. You got to start rebuilding and prove that you are going to make payments, you know.
Take out small loans that you know for a fact that you can pay back, and that will build your credit. Because when you have accounts that are fully paid off and fully up to date and they have a long credit history on them, you've had them for many years, that will improve your credit score over time.
Okay.
That's where you start, Kathy. So good luck. I hope it works for you. It will work. Good luck with it.
Thank you.
Before we close for the hour, be sure to sign up to be an InvestTalk Insider. You can access a whole list of helpful webinars on all kinds of investing topics. That's there ready for you anytime. Sign up for free on InvestTalk.com. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley, and for Justin Klein and everyone at KPP Financial, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll be here for the next InvestTalk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.